We've been studying the book of Philippians. Philippians is a great book. It's the book of joy. This morning I spoke about joy in Sunday school, how that every Christian ought to have joy in our heart. We may not always have happiness in our heart because of the various circumstances that arise in life and the things that we're challenged with. But nonetheless, the world looks on as we are in this world, but not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven, and Paul will speak about that in a few moments here in the book of Philippians, but there ought to always be joy unspeakable in our heart. And so tonight we pick up in chapter 3 once again. In chapter 3, verse 17, Paul is going to speak about our citizenship in heaven. Brethren, notice right off the bat, he speaks to the brethren of the church at Philippi. These were Philippian Christians. He says, brethren, join in following my example. Now, someone said to me this morning, we're losing many of our icons in our city. We're losing many of our icons in this world. Kids today, they don't have a lot of heroes to look up to, like many of us did in our day. And I can remember a preacher telling me one time that he stood to preach, and as he was preaching on the cross of Jesus Christ, and he was sharing in descriptive detail that event that took place on Golgotha's Hill, the cross, the crucifixion, the spearing in the side of Jesus, the plaited crown of thorns on his brow, the nails through his hands and his feet, and the blood that was gushing and flowing down. And as he was given that great description about the cross and the heinousness of crucifixion, there was a little kid that stood up in one of the pews and said, I'll tell you what, preacher, if Roy Rogers had been there, he wouldn't have done it. Let me tell you, there's a lot of kids today that are looking for heroes, but there are not a lot of heroes in our world anymore. The Apostle Paul said, join in following my example. Now, Paul, in that particular phrase, was not being egotistical in what he was saying. I think Paul was saying there, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that there just aren't a lot of examples out there in the world to look to. And so Paul said to the Philippian Christians, brethren, join in following my example. And then he said, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Paul was saying there's not only himself as an example, he had been a great example of the cause of Christ, and yet in all of Paul's experiences, Paul realized that he was not a real popular figure, because in most of the cities all over Asia, all over that area that he would plant churches in, there was always issues. There were problems that arose. But Paul wanted the Philippian Christians to not only follow the example of being a committed Christian and a passionate Christian of truth and testimony, but he also wanted them to understand there were others out there that were walking the same example, and they too would be patterns for the Philippian Christians to think about and to be a part of. In verse 18, he says, For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. I want you to think about that. Not only some 2,000 years ago when Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned these immortal words to the Philippian Christians, were there false teachers and false prophets that had infiltrated the church. Paul realized that everywhere he went, there were always a group that showed up. And whatever city that he went to, there were going to be those false imposters that would come in and try to propagate some other type of gospel that was not truth to the good news of the gospel of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he speaks very candidly, for many walk. I want you to think with me. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. That word destruction, perdition. Jesus spoke about Judas being the son of perdition. And that word perdition means destruction. Let me tell you, Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, there's a straight way. He said it's a narrow way. Jesus said there are few that find it, but many are those that walk the broad way and go to destruction. Paul is, he's writing to these Philippian Christians, for many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you. Notice he says even weeping. Paul was weeping over those who were preaching and teaching another gospel. Paul understood that the false proclaimers that were out there would always be around as long as time existed, as you and I understand it. Paul says, as he speaks to them about these imposters, he says that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Let me tell you, it doesn't take you and me long to read some news out there in the world today, to listen to a lot of cynics and critics that scoff at Christianity, that scoff at those that are pro-lifers, that scoff at those that believe in what the Bible teaches about marriage. Let me tell you, in the world that you and I live in today, there are many people in this world tonight that are enemies of the cross of Christ. They were then, they are now, they will be until time is no more, as you and I understand it. And so he warns the Philippian Christians. He gives them fair warning and to heed what he is trying to say to them. Verse 19, then he speaks about these that propagate this false doctrine, this false gospel out there that they're trying to lead others down. And notice in verse 19, he tells you what their end is, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. There he's speaking about they're sinful, they're shameful, they're secular. They're not interested in what the Bible says. They are not interested in absolute truth. And so today you and I are caught up in what we would call a humanistic society. We're caught up in humanism. We're caught up into subjective relativism, meaning that whatever you confront in life, whatever's relative to you at the moment, if it's okay for you, then it's okay. There are no absolute truths. And you and I know that Jesus himself said, I am truth. I am truth. Let me tell you, the Bible is truth. And when I listened, and I alluded to this morning, that one of the comedians that is not so comedic spoke about this Bible. And they threw a picture of the Holy Bible up on the screen, and he scoffed and said, those Jewish fables. And I thought to myself, one of these days, you will bow to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, whose name you are blaspheming, whose name you are scoffing at tonight. Notice he says in verse 19, these who walk that path, that are enemies of the cross of Christ, he says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. In other words, their appetite is nothing other than this world and the way this world operates. This morning, I didn't go on with that scripture in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, 6 and following, that spoke about Babylon is fallen. There are a lot of Bible commentators that believe that Babylon, the city, will be rebuilt. It is today Baghdad in Iraq. There are lots of them that see that as being more symbolic, that deals with the religious, the political, and the economic system of this world. when he speaks there, whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind, notice, on earthly things. Now, Paul is fixing to give a big promotion, a big punch here to our citizenship, those who have the mind of Christ, those who have chosen the path of Christ. As Ken sang about a few moments ago, grace so amazing. And let me tell you, he speaks here about the destruction of those that are enemies of the cross, that their mind is on earthly things. Now, you and I live in a fleshly, earthly body. It's very easy to get caught up into the world that we live in. It's a very humanistic world. As kids are going off to universities and colleges today and higher education, so many of them are being challenged. So many of them are being confronted with humanism. So many of them are being confronted with liberalistic ideas, and to look at biblical absolute truth as being antiquated and no longer in vogue in the 21st century in which we live. That is why so many get up and speak about that we are living in a post-Christian era of time. Many of those kids, once they go off to universities and colleges and institutions of higher learning, if they have not given a firm, solidified foundation on which Christ is the foundation of their lives, let me tell you, it will not be long before they too will be going the paths of the humanistic philosophy of this world. Paul understood the importance about these. He speaks about his enemies of the cross who set their mind on earthly things. And then in verse 20, he transitions from that group and he speaks now to the Philippian Christians about their own citizenship. He says, for our citizenship is in heaven. Citizenship. Living in this world, but yet we are in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. Our citizenship. I told someone a few weeks ago, I just received in the mail this week after I went through a long litany of about a 30-minute deal in the tag agency to get my new driver's license and new identification. Now that it is being mandated by the federal government, if you ever want to fly again on an airplane in an airport, if you ever want to go onto a government, in a government courthouse somewhere, if you ever want to go to a military base, and oftentimes I have people in hospitals, such as veteran centers, hospitals, Fort Sill, various places, then you've got to have this new identification number. Oklahoma has been behind for many, many years. Whenever it was mandated, Oklahoma and several other states chose to tell them to keep out of their own business, but now it's caught up, and so it's mandated. If you never intend to fly or go somewhere on a military base or a government institution, then you know you won't have to worry about it. But as I took my things the other day, my goodness gracious, to establish my citizenship. You know, if you don't have your social security number, your birth certificate, your card, not your number, your card. If you don't have your birth certificate, if you don't have a passport, the problem is many of us go by a name that we're referred to. I never loved my name that my mother stuck on me, Randall Dwayne. If I were 15, I'd change it. But it's a little late at 69. But anyway, nonetheless, I go by Randy most of the time. So I have a post office box where I get my mail, but I reside at a physical address. Part of my name's Randall Dwayne. Part of it's Randy. Part of it's post office box. Part of it's my physical address. And so guess what? I got hung up in all the paraphernalia of trying to figure out which forms I can use in order to get this new ID and, and driver's license. So fair warning to all of you. I say that only to point out that Paul speaks about our citizenship. For our citizenship is, notice, it's not in Duncan. It's not in Oklahoma. It's not in the United States. Our citizenship, even though we may be citizens, as Paul was a Roman citizen, but our real citizenship is not in this world. It's not of this world. It is in heaven. For our citizenship, Paul says to the Philippians, is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, tonight we're waiting for the blessed hope. What is that blessed hope? It's the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of these days we will be with him. Paul says to the Philippians, we also eagerly wait. Let me ask you a question. Are you eagerly waiting? Are you eagerly waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? And then in verse 21... Before I do that, let me just share with you what John Phillips says in his commentary on the book of Philippians. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you in myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3. The Christians, John Phillips says, of the first century anticipated, get this, that his coming would be in their lifetime, 2,000 years ago. We too hope he will come in our generation. Never before have there been so many signs to herald his return, such as the birth of the state of Israel, the rise of Russia, now we could add to that China, the coming together of the nations of Europe, in a collective consciousness not known since the fall of the Roman Empire, the discovery of nuclear power, the spread of atheism and humanism, a permissive society, the widespread use of illegal drugs, the toleration of pornography and perversion, the increasing fascination of millions with the occult, and the spread of false religion, apostasy, which means falling away, apostasy in the church, widespread famines, the emergence of deadly diseases resistant to all known drugs, the seeming increase in earthquakes, terrorism, and persecution. Phillips goes on and says, seeing all these signs, we, like those first century Christians, should be living in eager expectation that his coming will be in our lifetime. Are you eagerly awaiting when Jesus steps out with the trumpet, with the sound, with the voice of the archangel? Are you eagerly anticipating that time? Are you so in love with this world that you just, you know, I hear people say oftentimes, I've done it myself, so I'll put myself at the top of the list, okay? If you've said it, then you can sign in under me. I've often said, you know, I'm ready to go, but I don't want to go today. Any of y'all ever said that? Or somebody said, well, I'm not ready to get on the next busload going out. Well, are we so enamored with this world? Are we so in love with the things of this world that our eager anticipation is not what it ought to be? You see, he moves on and says in verse 21 of Philippians 3, he's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. He says, who will transform? That means to change, to transform. Who will change our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorified body, according to the working by which he's able even to subdue all things to himself. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about three things, or we alluded to three things. I am saved. That means I am justified. I am being saved every day. That means I am sanctified. I'm being set apart to grow and mature in my Christian faith. And thirdly, I will be glorified. That's when I shuck this human flesh and I'm transformed into that glorified body like Jesus had after the resurrection. We speak of those three things of salvation being justification, sanctification, and glorification. Those sound like big words, but that's what it speaks about. It's all a part of our salvation, justified in Christ, sanctified in Christ. And one of these days, we will be glorified like unto his glorious body. What did his glorious body, what was it like? Well, Jesus wasn't bound by time restraints. Jesus wasn't bound by solid matter. In fact, on that Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, in the upper room, as all of those followers of Jesus had hidden themselves in the upper room, locked the doors, scared to death, the one they had followed, the one they had believed in, the one they had loved, the one that had taught and preached and done miracles in their sight, lay in a tomb, they thought. But now he's resurrected. They had hidden in the upper room. They're scared. And all of a sudden, poof, right through the wall, Jesus appears in their presence. That's the glorified body. Jesus would meet some of those disciples out there on the seaside, and he would eat broiled fish there on the fire with them. They would eat. So don't be too disappointed. You'll be able to eat when we all get to heaven. No wonder we sing, what a day of rejoicing that will be. People will say, I can eat and never have to worry about my weight. Well, you know, whenever you think about the glorified body, what's it going to be like? Let me tell you, I am thankful. I am grateful that there is a living, blessed hope. And my hope is not in this world and all of the problems and all of the issues. My hope is in the risen Savior. My citizenship is not in this world. My citizenship is in heaven for all eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ought to have a resounding amen. Amen, folks. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. Would you stand as we pray together? Thank you for your wonderful love and patience, and thank you for your participation tonight. And those that are listening by live stream, we love you, and we pray for you and pray for your divine safety during these days. And hopefully at some point in time, maybe things will be differently than they are right now. But what a great Sunday night crowd. God bless you for being here tonight. Would you bow as we pray together? Please be safe going home, and hope to see you back on Wednesday night at 6:30. Father, we thank you for this night. Thank you for these wonderful words of life as we sing that old song, sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. And God, we thank you because that is what gives us hope. That's what gives us peace. That's what brings calm to the troubled heart in moments and times of uncertainty that we are living in. Thank you, God, that our citizenship, as Paul was saying and trying to encourage the Philippian Christians, that their citizenship, they might have had an earthly citizenship, but their eternal citizenship was in heaven to be with Jesus one of these days. And Father, we're thankful for a place called heaven, that temporary place up there in the heavens that the Bible says is in the far north. We're thankful for that temporary place that we're going to go be with you when you rapture us out of this world into your presence at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then God, we're thankful for that eternal heaven that is going to be in the new heaven and the new earth for all eternity. One of these days, God, it's so awesome whenever we think about the Creator God who has planned all of this from eternity past for us, that we might have, oh God, tranquility and peace in a troubled world. No wonder, Jesus, you would say to those disciples, "My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Father, may we stand on the premises, but sing from the promises. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.